anyone has any announcements for the good of the church, feel free to come up. And Terry?
Good morning. My name is Terry Potter. I wanted to say two things today. One, we have a bring your own lunch event, if you will, fellowship, after church down in the fellowship hall. If you forgot to bring lunch, not to worry, because we have peanut butter and jelly and ham and cheese available for sandwiches. So please feel free to come. If you just want coffee and a cookie, that's okay too. Second announcement is, although it's not for a few weeks, so it'll be 3 weeks from yesterday is our next turn at Food at First, but there has been a change in how they do things. They are going back to having a congregate meal starting this coming up Wednesday the 4th. What that means is, instead of packaging food to go before people bring it, pick up the food, there'll be lots and lots and lots of dishes to wash after the fact. So I need all the volunteers that I can get, and I'll remind you again, but Saturday, the 21st, and also this is a month that has a fifth Sunday, so we will also do the evening meal on the 29th. Is that right? Thank you. 29th of Sunday. Okay? So, thank you.
Some of you saw me here several Sundays ago, or several different Sundays, saying that we would have an event which occurred last week in the 37th Theologian in Residence Program. It was on prophetic lessons for the climate crisis. That event was held last weekend, and there's so many of you who get need thank yous, so we'll try to get those out individually. But I thought you might like to know the news that the first two sessions last Saturday were part of that national webinar. Brooks Berent was the theologian, and he was keeping us informed. He had predicted that there might be, as of the middle of that week, 225, and he said maybe by the end of the week, 300 people nationally would have signed up for it. But then on the morning, Saturday morning, since I was doing the introduction, I talked to the person in charge, and she said 600 people registered. But Brooks informed me that was wrong. Friday, he informed me there had been 700. So, thank you. Well, again, thank you. Just think, this little church is now known throughout this country for a theologian residence program. So, again, and now we have to do next year. All right.
Are there any other announcements? All right, I have one before we ring the bell. You might have seen in your email that came out on Thursday that we have officially hired a new youth minister. I know, it's very exciting. And so she'll be with us next Sunday. This week in the email, you'll see a letter from her introducing herself. She'll be working here part-time, 20 hours a week, and she comes to us from collegiate. She's got a Master's of Divinity degree and is very eager to start. So thank you all so much for your continued support of our youth group, because this is going to be a really exciting time for them and for us. So go ahead and ring the bell.
Call to worship. Jesus calls us from the distractions of our hurried lives, saying, "Come to me." We are among those who have heard the call and have dared to respond to Jesus. Let us worship God who has called each of us as his disciples. You may be seated. Holy God, we ask for your help, your power, your spirit, so that we can amend our lives and grow more each day into the image of Christ. We confess that we fear what is different. We confess that it's easier to lock the doors than to receive those who don't look like we look, love like we love, or vote the way we vote. We confess that we have not the power. Friends, know this, the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting, and I remind you of this surpassing grace in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen.
And now you're invited to stand and pass the peace with one another. You can do so shaking hands, or if you feel more comfortable, doing the elbow bump or a fist bump or just a bow. May the peace of Christ be with each and every one of you. My goodness. I don't even know where this is plugged in.
Good morning.
I'm excited to have you preach again.
Oh, thank you.
Peace be with you.
I can just use this one for the kid time, so I don't have to go all the way back there.
Children and youth to join me up front for the children's celebration. This morning. So it occurred to me that now that we're having our children's celebration, that the friends that are still at home might like to see some of our children and youth. So I have my computer right down here on the floor. So if any of you want to wave into this, the camera's right here, but then you can see Herb and you can see Lindsay and Glenda and Jim Peek is there and Miss Oak. And the Hansons are in Honduras, and Alan Trankel. That way we can say hi to our friends. All right, so this morning I'm wondering if any of you have already eaten breakfast. Did anyone eat breakfast this morning? Mariella, what did you have for breakfast?
I had coffee.
You ate coffee and hash browns. Okay, Zozo, what did you have for breakfast?
I had sausages.
Sausages?
Coffee.
Coffee? Are you serious?
And hash browns.
And hash browns. Mm-hmm. Kate, did you have coffee? No, you did not. You did? What did you have for breakfast, Kate? Pancakes. What did you have to drink? Water. That, yeah. All right. Will, what did you have for breakfast? Did you eat breakfast? What did you have? Cinnamon strudel. Lucy? I know what Lucy had. We drove through Starbucks and she had pumpkin bread. Yeah, okay. Well, I brought some Swedish fish today. Now, this is not a good breakfast. This is not a good choice. But the reason I brought it is because in just a moment, you're going to hear Johnny right here. Can you wave? There we go. He's going to read the scripture. He's going to preach for us today. He's going to read in there that the disciples ate fish for breakfast. Gross, huh? I don't like fish any time of any day, but especially not for breakfast. You do? How many of you like fish? Ooh, we got lots of fish people.
But I like candy fish.
You do eat candy fish. I would eat candy fish for breakfast. I would eat candy fish any time of the day.
My parents only let me eat it after I eat breakfast or dinner.
Yeah, most parents probably don't let us eat even candy fish for breakfast, right? Not a good choice. You've only ever had fish for dinner. Oh, on your birthday when your poppy makes it for you. Well, that makes it really special, doesn't it? Yeah. Have any of our adults ever had fish for breakfast? Like at the lake? Yeah. I grew up going to the lake every summer, and that's what they would eat. Your grandma's had fish for breakfast. That's so gross. It's so gross. I know. Shh. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. Okay. Well, if you're listening very carefully to the story that Johnny reads, yes, they have fish for breakfast, but that's not even the whole point of the story. The point of the story is that they're going to hear from Jesus, and they're going to know how much Jesus loves them, that Jesus wants them to do good work in the world, just like each and every one of you. We are called to go and do good work in the world, and I know each of you is already doing that at your school or your daycare and in your family and here at this church. So thank you for being part of that with all of us. Will you all pray with me before we go sit down? Oh God, full of love, we thank you for each of these children that are here with us today and each of the children and youth in this church that we've promised to nurture and raise. May we be called to be helping them to make good choices and be good people and show everyone your love. And we ask, and all God's children say?
Amen.
Now, I'll give you each one of these, but you need to ask before you eat.
You didn't ask me what I had for breakfast.
What did you have for breakfast, Tranquility?
I had coffee.
Psalm 30. I give you all the credit. God, you got me out of that mess. You didn't let my foes gloat. God, my God, I yelled for help and you put me together. God, you pulled me out of the grave, gave me another chance at life when I was down and out. All you saints, sing your hearts out to God. Thank him to his face. He gets angry once in a while. But across a lifetime, there is only love. The nights of crying your eyes out give way to days of laughter. When things were going great, I crowed, I've got it made. I'm God's favorite. He made me king of the mountain. Then you looked the other way, and I fell to pieces. I called out to you, God, I laid my case before you. Can you sell me for a profit when I'm dead? Auction me off at a cemetery yard sale? When I'm dust to dust, my songs and stories of you won't sell. So listen and be kind. Help me out of this. You did it. You changed wild lament into whirling dance. You ripped off my black mourning band and decked me with wildflowers. I'm about to burst with song. I can't keep quiet about you. God, my God, I can't thank you enough.
A reading from the Gospel of John. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon and Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." They went out and got in the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the master." When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." Not one of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, master, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." He then asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, master, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Shepherd my sheep." Then he said it a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was upset that he asked for the third time, "Do you love me?" So he answered, "Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I'm telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go." He said this to hint at what kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded, "Follow me." I was sitting here thinking this is the third time I've spoken this year, and I remember a centuries-old story about a group of monks who, to remind themselves of the importance of service and who they were ultimately serving, would greet someone either in their mind or out loud with, "Oh, Jesus Christ, is it you again?" Of course, if you were having a tough time and everyone was kind of getting ornery with each other, that line could be read very differently. I'm hoping that's not the reading for me this morning. A good 10 years ago, my husband and I were invited to a big family picnic. Everyone had arrived at the park shelter and had been there for a while when I found myself wondering why nobody had gotten the charcoal lit so that the hot dogs and burgers could be cooked. I'd never cooked for a large group of people before, and grilling wasn't something I'd done much of. Eventually, though, Steve and I agreed that if we worried about stepping on anyone else's toes any longer, we'd all be eating potato salad and marshmallow fluff for dinner. As we fired up the grills, I told Steve that being the grill master had never entered my mind because one of the old guys always did that. You see where this is going. Before I could say anything else, he gave me his sideways grin and declared, "Now you're one of the old guys." In today's gospel reading, I think that Peter and the disciples with him were experiencing something similar, albeit a much more serious situation of questioning their adequacy, their roles, their callings. Not too long before, their friend, mentor, and Messiah had walked right into a death sentence and died a criminal's death. It had been an especially big shock to the disciples like Peter, who had believed the Messiah would take control and chase off the occupying Romans. Most of the disciples had scattered and hid out in various places to avoid suffering the same fate that Jesus did. Peter had gone so far as to deny he knew Jesus, 3 times over. Since that time, the resurrected Jesus had appeared to them, but it seems that they were all still questioning and unsure of themselves. They were in the midst of changing circumstances and uncertain expectations, with looming responsibility for things they had never done, or at least had never done without Jesus being nearby. Metaphorically speaking, in terms of my picnic grilling story, they were facing a moment of, "I'm not one of the old guys," and that was hitting Peter especially hard. Sometimes we put people in the Bible on a pedestal thinking that they were somehow super people, but I don't believe they were. So I want to ask you if you can think of a similar time in your life when you were challenged or had the opportunity to take on a new responsibility and you weren't sure if you could do it. Maybe you weren't sure if you even wanted to do it. Maybe it was physically dangerous, or maybe you'd faced something similar before and failed in such spectacular fashion that the resulting embarrassment was still very strong, threatening to paralyze you with fear. Or maybe you just beat feet in the opposite direction in a hurry to avoid the scene entirely. I've been there. I can identify with all of the above experiences. I think most of us have been there in some way at some time. We have, to some extent, stood in Peter's sandals. And poor Peter, his three-peat denial of Jesus and running away to hide was such a spectacular failure that we've practically immortalized it in our language in the verbal phrase, to peter out, meaning to fizzle out, taper off to nothing, or end weakly. In today's reading, I can imagine Peter being stuck in a rough state of mind, conflicting thoughts and emotions, kind of stewing. There's a sense that something's got to give as he decides that he's going to go do something familiar, do something he knows he's good at. He goes fishing, and the guys join him. But Peter and his disciple buddies are out all night and don't catch a thing, not a single fish. I can imagine Peter calling out to God at that point, like our psalmist did in today's psalm, "God, listen and be kind. Help me out of this mess." Of course, God didn't let Peter flounder for long. That fishing pun is for you, Bob. Jesus appeared on the shore at sunrise and brought a sense of deja vu with him. Jesus would proceed to kind of replay some earlier scenes from his group's life and ministry together, but with a different outcome for Peter. If you identify with Peter's situation, his state of mind, I invite you to stay in his sandals all the way to the end of the story. Don't worry, I know I've got to pick up the pace at this point so I don't go over time or lose you all completely. So buckle up and don't blink. Here's how I break down the replays and the messages they convey to us. First thing, Jesus told the guys to throw their net out into the water in a specific direction. And when they did this, they hauled so many fish in that the net could barely handle them. Then Jesus fed them a breakfast of loaves and fish. Loaves and fish, sound familiar? The message I'm hearing here is that you can and should trust Jesus. And when you're with Jesus, there is an abundance. There is enough. After breakfast, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Essentially giving Peter a do-over of the night that he denied knowing Jesus 3 times. Jesus accepts each of the 3 answers that Peter gives and repeats his invitation to Peter to feed my sheep and follow me. The message here, Jesus not only forgives what some people might think unforgivable, but reminds us that he is the one calling us to follow him. At no time is worthiness or ability mentioned. The only thing I hear being questioned here is willingness or maybe commitment. Are you hearing the same messages that I am? You can trust Jesus. When you are with Jesus, there is enough. Jesus forgives the biggest screw-ups, and Jesus invites you to follow him. And with Jesus, you are enough. When we let all this reassuring good news sink in and embrace it as Peter eventually did, we can let go of the fear and the imposter syndrome that's dragging us down. We can embrace the responsibility and role of being one of the old guys. Get on with cooking the burgers and maybe even enjoy the picnic. We can take a deep, grateful breath and say to God, as our psalmist did, "You did it. You changed wild lament into whirling dance. You ripped off my black mourning band and decked me with wildflowers. I'm about to burst with song. I can't keep quiet about you. God, my God, I can't thank you enough." Amen.
Thank you.
Now's the time when we come together to lift up each other and pray for each other. If any of you have something that you'd like us to pray about today, Greg will come around with a microphone. I invite you to sit or stand, but if you could say your name before you say your prayer request, that will help our hybrid friends know who's talking.
Hi, this is Bob Kirksick. Prayers for Dinah's sister, baby sister Jill. Dinah's the oldest of four sisters. And she went into the hospital last weekend and had had a tumor taken out of the back of her head. And I just realized my phone dinged and I hadn't turned it off. And she sent a picture. It's like, oh, wow. But it is cancerous. And they're looking for where else in the body it might be. And we're all hoping and praying that she comes through this all right. She says she's feeling really good, so I hope that continues.
Hi, I'm Aria Pilcher, and I actually have a joy. We've just come up on 4 years after my dad's double lung transplant, and he's doing really well. And thank you. And I just wanted to say thank you to all of you because several of you offered prayers or food or time during that time for my family, and it was really helpful, and I don't know if we would have been able to get through as well as we did without all of you, so thank you guys.
My name's Tranquility. My mom is still struggling with her shoulder surgery. She's still in a sling. And tomorrow, my aunt and my mom's close friend both have surgery. So that is why I am here in person, because I'm going to be the driver. So if you could keep my aunt Sheila and my mom's friend is Kay, my mom's name is Dixie. So if you can keep them in your prayers, because they're going to go through a tough time. I don't really know exactly what surgeries everybody's getting, but and my mom does need a knee surgery, but that's going to have to wait. So she's hoping for cortisone shots. A joy, though, Chris and I celebrated our 4-year anniversary, and we went to the mountains, and we had an amazing vacation, and it strengthened our marriage, and I'm thankful for all of you for sending cards and well wishes, and even though we had some rough patches while we were driving, weather, mountains, not good. Thank you.
Hi, Charles again. A continuation of the creation theme. At 1:30 today at Plymouth Church in Des Moines, they're having a photographer's look at creation, and he will be there today. They've had it for a while. So that's today, and actually another thing associated with Plymouth. One of the members of their Creation Care and Justice Committee was a retired UCC conference minister, Ron Esslinger. Ron died unexpectedly a week or so ago. And they will have a memorial service will be actually this coming Saturday, but Ron Esslinger.
While Greg's bringing the mic over here, yesterday, Associate Conference Minister Ellis Arnold did their release of vows to the conference here in this sanctuary with a worship service, and so Ellis's last day is today. And also Lindsay Gomez wants to thank everyone here for their support while she continues to heal, and she has a doctor appointment tomorrow on her foot.
So. This is Brad. Just a a real celebration of joy, and a thank you yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock. This space was filled with over 250 people who came to, this was the rain location for ISU Theater and Music's production of the Iowa Insect Pageant, directed and created by our own Amanda Pettifish-Schrag. We had a 20-person jazz band up here, and we were standing room only in the sanctuary for the event, and so it was just so wonderful to see, first of all, to see this building filled with people and experiencing joy, and just thank you to all of you for opening this space to the Department of Music and Theater and the community to get to enjoy this time of really celebratory fellowship. So thank you very much for that. I'll post some pictures. It was awesome.
Thank you. This is Jan Lee. I want to say thank you. Where's Charles? Hi, Charles. To Charles and everyone who was a part of the TIR, it was incredibly powerful. I'm glad I could participate in it. And I just want to thank all of you for the risk and the uncertainty that you must have felt at times. It really paid off. And then secondly, I just wanted to update people on my great niece, Peyton. She's been in Iowa City the last few days. This was bout number 2 of chemotherapy with many bouts to come. And hopefully she'll get to go home from this one today. She and her family, all of us really appreciate the prayers of everyone. It does make a difference. We really do believe. Thank you all.
I'm Barbara Fadley, and I'm originally from Michigan, and so I have family, all of my family is in Michigan, and we haven't visited them because of COVID for like 3 years or more. And I got a call from my brother, and his wife died on Thursday.
Oh, and what's your brother's name?
My brother's name is Robert, and her name was Wilma.
All right, well, let's be together in a time of prayer. Gracious God, we just come to you today with all of the prayers that are on our individual hearts and minds. We know that there is so much hurt in this world right now, so much grief and turmoil and destruction. And we continue to think about and pray for your presence to be in Ukraine with the people there, for guidance of leadership, that just as the hymn says, we pray for their strength for today and hope for tomorrow, that resources will become available, that your hopefulness will be seen in the kindness of strangers, and in housing, and in food, and just in hope. We pray on this day for the healing that you can offer Joan, for Lindsay and Dixie, for Sheila and Kay, and continued prayers for Peyton and her family as they go through her battle with cancer. We know your presence is there already with each of them. May they see you in their healing. May they never lose their hope and faith in you and in what can be. We pray for the family and the friends and the UCC community surrounding Ron Esslinger and his sudden death this week. May your presence be with each and every one of these people as they remember what a good and decent man Ron is, how much good he did for the United Church of Christ and particularly for the Iowa Conference. We pray for the Fadleys and for Barbara's family and especially for Robert today as they grieve the death of Wilma. May they know your peace and comfort in knowing that Wilma is now in your eternal care. May they draw strength in you and in the others that surround them in support during this time. And we come to you with such gratitude for opportunities to travel as Tranquility and Chris have been able to do, for the opportunity to have Amanda and Brad right here in our congregation, and for the gifts that they were able to share with the community yesterday. We give you thanks for this building and for this space that we can open our doors to all people for all things. We come to you with joy around the Pilcher family for 4 years after Josh's lung transplant. What a miracle it is to be able to see the progress and the health and the growth that he's had over the last 4 years, and for just the medical advancements to be able to do such a miraculous surgery and for him to be able to continue to live a long and healthy life. And we just give you great thanks for the Theologian in Residence program that happened last weekend for Charles and Eric and Tom and Neil and the others that are on that committee. We give you thanks for their time and their energy and their perseverance. And I just pray that we can all hold what we learned or what we know to be true about the care of our creation, not just for last weekend, but to continue to move that message forward in our practices and in our words and in the way that we live our life. We give you thanks for Johnny being able to be here again today to preach for us and for the gifts that he's sharing with us during this time of transition. And we pray for the conference as Ellis has had their last day and as we look for Bridget Stevens to be done by the end of the week. We just pray for the conference and for your guidance in their leadership and what that means for our church as we're looking also during this time of transition. May we just continue to turn our strength and our hope in you. And together be with us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And will you please stand as we sing our closing song, You Walk Along Our Shoreline. Thank you. As we leave this space, may we do just as the song has invited us, to work for love and justice. May we never lose our hope in the one that carries us each and every day. May the peace of Christ be with you as you leave this space. Amen. All right, Johnny.
I made it.
And Steve.
Come on.
It's your favorite time.
Oh, yes.